Thanks for tuning in to the Mustard Seed Talks. I really hope you've been enjoying them. If you want to continue to hear Mustard Seed Talks, we're running out of room on this current podcast, and so I'm going to start a new podcast called Mustard Seed Talks 2018. You'll need to find that on iTunes or look on the Mustard Seed webpage. Here's our talk from Christmas Day, and just a reminder that you'll need to upgrade to the next Mustard Seed Talks podcast to continue listening in 2018. Still free, still good news. Thanks. And so Messiah arrives, God among the people of earth. Not originally as a big religious festival, a significant religious festival, although we've made it into one, of course. Not as a powerful political movement, but as the obscure and unself-conscious arrival of an infant, of a baby. Unannounced except to fringe dwellers and rank outsiders. You really couldn't make this stuff up. Let's say a quick prayer. Lord, help us to understand the meaning of this story, that it might touch our hearts in the way you want to make us aware of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first couple was a very ordinary couple. Thanks, Leanne. So I've just been distracted by my daughter. Like so many other couples at the time, even though Mary and Joseph's faith was remarkable and their faithfulness to each other was almost unimaginable given the circumstances, in most other ways, Mary and Joseph were quite normal people. They were not of high birth nor of low birth. They weren't particularly well taught nor particularly ignorant. They were neither lacking in religious culture, neither were they religious zealots. They were likely about as faithful to the traditions of their culture and religion as the next couple around about their age. There was nothing particularly outside the normal. They were really Mary and Joe average, for want of a better name. Just one of the innumerable poor young couples making their way through life when Caesar Augustus' census disrupted everything for them. But they were asked to take on some extraordinary responsibility. The thing that makes Mary and Joseph truly remarkable was essentially what God asked them to do, to nurture and raise the Messiah. Now, there's no manual for this task. They could not have anticipated what the Messiah would end up doing, and as Jesus' adult life unfolded, it proved to be beyond what anybody expected. So it's a pretty difficult task. I remember when Joe and I were entrusted with a six-month-old baby girl. We knew some stuff about raising children. We'd seen other people do it, and we'd talked to people about raising children. Joe had read a stack of books and talked to lots of people. And all of that was very valuable, of course. But then you get the unique individual that a child is, and there is no manual for that child. They have their own sleeping patterns and their own eating habits, the things they like and they don't like. There's certain things that settle them and certain things that unsettle them. And just as you're getting the hang of the first one, if you're lucky enough, the second one comes along. And the second one's different from the first one. And the manual for the first one doesn't work for the second one. And the second one sleeps differently and eats differently and likes different things, and there is no manual. There's no manual for raising any child, and there was no manual for raising the Messiah. An unimaginable responsibility that Mary and Joseph were entrusted with. And the Messiah comes as a vulnerable baby. Some of these pictures might look familiar to you. They all occurred last Friday week. Yes. Jesus came as a human baby, not as a superhero baby. He had no magical powers. There wasn't a force field around him to protect him. He was a dependent baby, needing to be fed, crying when his nappy was wet. I remember the first time I was left with our baby, without my wife being present. Initially, I was mildly terrified. The weight of responsibility of caring for a totally dependent human being. She could not tell me what she needed. I had to work it out from the sounds and what I could observe and this kind of thing. I was scared of getting it wrong. I was scared of breaking this little person. It seems crazy now when I look at our beautiful girls and how mischievous and beautiful they are. But that utter dependence and vulnerability is really something. It's quite extraordinary. And Jesus was that kind of baby. When Herod came looking for the baby Jesus, the family had to flee. They had no defences. They had to run away, utterly at the mercy of the many forces that were much more powerful around about. That is the nature of a baby. But also, like all babies, everything was ahead of him. First, he had to survive infancy. That's the hardest thing, surviving infancy. Making friends with the neighbourhood kids, that's always a lot of fun. Learning the family trade and integrating with the community of faith. Wondering what contribution he would make to the world. What would it mean that he was God's anointed? But in a funny kind of way, this vulnerable child draws from the human heart a response of love and devotion. Stay with that one. Because God announces to fringe dwellers, the shepherds, that the Messiah has come. A very odd choice of people to announce the arrival of the baby Jesus to. And like any other baby, people made their response to Jesus. Initially, like I say, the most unlikely people, the fringe dwellers who weren't part of the mainstream. Now, I often wonder, why would God announce the arrival of the Messiah to these strange fringe dwellers? Wouldn't you put it in like the Sydney Morning Herald or up on Times Square or something like that, make it a really big blast? But it does occur to me that the thing about the mainstream is it co-opts everything and makes it part of its mainstream. I mean, look what we've done to Christmas today. It's a shopping festival, really, and an eating festival. The mainstream co-opts things, whereas fringe dwellers don't have the same agenda. They often don't have the capacity to uphold an agenda, and so they're much more available to receive the meaning of something as it comes. And these fringe dwellers came and saw the baby, and they were devoted, they worshipped. They realised that this was something really special. But not just fringe dwellers, some remarkable people from a long way off. The Magi who'd been watching the celestial movements and had detected that a very significant event was going to happen in Israel at this time. A new king would be coming. And these Magi, these strange characters from Persia, travelling so far, following the stars, come and offer their devotion as well, bringing their gifts. And this is a very interesting thing because the people of Israel are a very particular people. Part of their hallmark is that they are the chosen people. And so there's a very strong sense of identity in that. And yet here are people from well outside of that group coming and offering their devotion. These rank outsiders were the ones that most clearly identify Jesus' identity, purpose, and destiny. It's quite remarkable. God's ways are not the ways of the world. The vulnerable baby's arrival is announced to nobodies and to outsiders. The arrival of Messiah does not show the raw strength of God's arm, as so many of the prophets in the Old Testament seem to suggest. The day of God's coming would be a day of reckoning and this awesome power would be revealed. Rather, this awesome vulnerability is revealed. This awesome gentleness and presence. The baby in the manger reveals the vulnerable power of self-giving love. There's no sign of coercion or manipulation in this Advent. Simply the quiet arrival of the person who would change everything for everyone forever. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your great wisdom. You have never coerced anyone because love cannot be coerced. But you draw it from our hearts by loving us completely and vulnerably. And so the only appropriate response is to put our trust in you and say yes. We thank you that Jesus is the personification of your love. And we're so grateful that he's come. And we worship this morning in his precious name. Amen.